sifting through some of the mess all around us, some of the ideas of revolution, counter-revolution, nonviolence. We're going to be connecting the dots because this is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and that's what I do, and that's what I will do on this edition, number 425 of The Next Step.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Well, do we have a mess of stuff to get through today? I'm using that word mess exactly in the true sense of the word. It is a mess. Just when we thought it couldn't get any worse, right? I mean, we were talking about so many odd things last week. We were talking about just that phenomena of going around and shooting people without cause, without reason. And interestingly enough, I had a chance to listen to some woman who was talking from Central America. At that, Central America, she was being asked, would you like to come to America? And in Central America, she lives in one of those slums where there's killings all the time because of drug trade and everything. And she says, no, I can't understand what's going on in America. Listen to this. Here's a woman from Central America, lives in the slums, lives where there are killings every day. And she says, I don't understand about America. People are shooting people for no reason. At least where we're at, if you're getting shot, you're in the way of something that we know of. You know, whether it's the drug trade, illegal as it is, you know, we know the factors there, the variables there. But there are no variables. People are out there shooting. And sure enough, I shared with you some comments on that. I shared with you about the Pokemon Go experience in a different way. The phenomena of bait and switch and the business plan for Pokemon. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, do listen to last week's. I thought I got some really, really great comments about it. It made me feel good because I want to say it this way. People got it. They got it. It wasn't about Pokemon. It wasn't about the app. It was about this phenomena that the church really has written that business plan long ago. The bait and switch. Come in for something that doesn't belong to us. Come in for the food. Come in for the sports events. And when you get in, we're going to share with you something else. And guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Listen to this from the Pokemon as an addendum to the Pokemon discussion. People were complaining that people are coming in, but they're not appreciating the art that's around us. They're not appreciating. In fact, there was a complaint from the Holocaust Museum. People were coming in for, guess what, Pokemon. They were coming in because there were Pokemon to catch. Well, talk about disrespect. There it is. And we do this also with our church. We have this phenomenal teaching of Jesus Christ, and we disrespect it by saying that, hey, come on in. Come on in. We've got the best food around. We've got the best football team, basketball team, volleyball team. Come on in. Don't you want that name of that saint on your jersey? You are the St. James, the St. John's, the St. Peter team. It's a complete disrespect for the teachings that we have to offer. And there it was. And I want to thank our listener, Rob, from the East Coast. He said, there it is. In the Holocaust Museum, people are looking at it as disrespect, and rightfully so. What do you mean you're coming in for the Pokemon? We're talking about 6 million people have died. That's what this museum is about. You're coming in looking for Pokemon? Well, think about it in terms of the church. We have this incredible teaching. We have Jesus Christ. And you're coming in for what? Because we're going to give you grapes today? You're going to get a chance to light a candle today? Anyway, that was last week. And as I said, a mess since then. A mess since then. As an addendum to our talk last week, let's continue today. I mean, since we left you last week, what happened in Turkey, an attempted coup? Yeah, trying to take over the government, right? Attempted coup. And you got, well, because I'm Armenian, I'm following all kinds of tweets and feeds from Armenian sources. Yeah, there you go, great. Forget about stability, forget about what's going on over there. Let's side up with anything that could destabilize that government and forget about everything else. It reminds me of a call that I got, and in fact, it was in one of the Armenian newspapers, a famous Armenian writer. He writes on there that we should be supportive of Donald Trump. Why? Because at least there's a hope. Now that it's coming down to two nominees, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We know that Clinton won't back the genocide resolution, but we know that we don't know what Trump may do, and there is a hope that he may stand up to Turkey, he may stand up to the government there, and he may recognize the genocide. Guess what? That's the reason why he's saying you should vote. Forget about any of his policies. Forget about that he may that he has access to the codes that can annihilate civilization. Forget about all that. Now, what's important is he's going to remember something that happened 100 years ago. Well, guess what? Since that 100 years, all kinds of things are happening. And guess what? You don't need to even go back 100 years. Over this past week, look what happened. Look what's happening in Armenia. Right now, it's happening. The following day, right after the attempted coup in Turkey, in Armenia, we saw a group of people take over a police station, take over hostages, and then there was a call for people to come out in the streets. People didn't right away. But now, here it is 5 days after, and people are now rushing out to the streets. And here's what happens. And I'm not going to get into any of the politics. That's not the scope of the next step. That's not the scope of what we do. But I want to share with you the idea of nonviolent resistance, about the idea that Jesus Christ puts together and how you can use that. And we should be using it. What happens, and by the way, I did have some excellent small little sound bites that came to us from the internet, and I just, about an hour or so ago, decided against using that because it did get into the politics. And there are, the politics of it are so complex, but what I want to talk about really is the nature of the beast. We talk about Armenodoxy, about the purest form of Christianity, and it's stripped of the hoopla and stripped of the mechanism. Well, that mechanism turns out to be, well, ineffective over and over again. And you need a mechanism. Yeah, this is the realization. You need a mechanism to put it into play. And the case in point, this is what's going on in Armenia right now. Okay, you've got a group out there, and they have taken over a small police station. Okay, if you know Armenia, it's these are really small little areas. But the repercussions are huge because they've been able to rally people around a common, I'm going to use this word, quote-unquote, enemy. The understanding that there are inequalities, to say it in the least, to say that there are divisions, not only among classes, but among what they've successfully done about the elite. And, you know, you can get away with this with a large population and a small population in a small country like Armenia. It's so noticeable. And so all of a sudden, you've got people rising to the occasion and rising. And what's happened, and over I'm hearing this as I'm following the news, is that there's no leadership over there. So this is what really triggered my response, or my comments right here. A couple priests show up at the demonstration. about 2 days after everything is going on. This is yesterday when a group of the protesters started hurling rocks, stones, as well as water bottles to the police. And the police were answering back with a variety of things, including sending back those water bottles. And these two priests show up. And the commentator, interestingly enough, says that these are representatives of the church. So we have the definition right there, right? The definition is that these are representatives of the church, not really viewed as spiritual beings, though they may be. And this is nothing to say about the persons of the people that ended up over there, but representatives of the church. And you hear them coming in and saying, one of the priests is heard saying, put down those stones. It is for the dignity of the Armenian people. Wow, dignity. Dignity when you don't have proper wages. Dignity when people can't find jobs, when people are out on the street, when the living condition is substandard, poverty all around you. Need to think about dignity, he says. And one of the protesters turns to him and says, basically, too little, too late. He says, where have you been? And the priest says, well, we've been here. No, you haven't been here, they say. And this goes back and forth, and there's a little pushing and shoving. And then the front line is maintained, and the priests are standing on the other side of the line. Two priests. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's a couple people going out on a limb. That's beautiful that they did that. But where is the structure? Where is the institution that proclaims that there has to be justice? Obviously, it's not there. You can't find it. It's quiet. The institution itself has not even come out with a statement except to, you know, let's bring things back to normal. Well, normal is unacceptable. And so my head goes back to the 60s, goes back to the 70s, goes back to leaders such as Dr. Martin Luther King, who was a reverend, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ in. And what was his premise? That Jesus Christ was talking about the dignity of the soul, the dignity of humankind, not about the dignity of a people that is perceived in the media. In other words, put down your stones because we have to worry about what people are going to think about us. What do you mean what people are going to think about us? What about right now? Who cares what people are going to think about us? What about the right now? That there is hunger, there is poverty, there is corruption. And someone to stand up and talk about that corruption was necessary. And over throughout these demonstrations last few days, it keeps being repeated that there really is no leadership to move this movement in the direction it should go. And definitely, you do need a movement. Wouldn't it have been beautiful if the church could step to the occasion and says, there is inequality. You want to talk about dignity, not about the, and let me say it in Armenian because maybe the translation might work a little bit better, badiv, okay, the dignity, the pride. We have pride. Well, what is that pride? What is that dignity? If the human soul is in despair, if people can't put food on their table, if people are struggling with education and not being able to act on that education, not being able to fulfill themselves as human beings. And I've shared this with you many times that, you know, you walk into my office and along with all the usual icons that you would expect to see in a priest's office, there's also the Declaration of Independence there, when in the course of human events, people find it necessary to break apart from the institution that suppresses us, that among our rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are sacred. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are not just words. And certainly people all over the world are entitled to those things. Just as in Turkey, you got this coup attempt. Why? Because people are rebelling against the conditions in which they find themselves. So too in Armenia. And every group has that right. And I would qualify it by saying nonviolent revolution. But as you know, that's basically a value call. There are people who say that there has to be violent revolution. So what does the church say? Should the church say anything? Or should we just be in some kind of ivory tower? Or should we be just content with saying that Jesus Christ came and he gave us life and gave us life for eternity? Obviously not, because it doesn't mean anything when you have this kind of suffering, mass suffering in the world. And so right now, the demonstration, right now the protest in Armenia continues. And these two priests are there, and this is the part that really hurt me. The people, you could see this. Let me see if I remember. We'll make a note of it over here. We'll put the link onto some of the YouTube videos. Basically, they are being streamed, so kind of got to go through them and find them. But when the priests arrive, there are people who literally are begging them. Hantrumem. They're begging them to pray, to calm the people down by praying. Can you imagine? People are asking the people to pray and they say, okay, just hold off. Not right now. Finally, I believe it was 4 a.m. that same day that I was watching, 4 a.m. their time in Armenia, that some woman with a beautiful voice got up and she started singing. And you could hear the calmness that prevailed in the group. And then, in fact, a group of people started singing with her. Now, wouldn't that have been nice if we could have seen the priests rise to the occasion? Now, what do you expect? I'm not going to talk on their behalf because obviously the conditions there, the situation they found themselves in, all kinds of factors that I wasn't privy to. But they basically went and stood the line. And what are you going to do with these two priests? Really a presence, an army of soldiers of the church should have been present. And this is sad. It's a sad reality that we're seeing throughout the world. And it's the reason why we're seeing the world, when I said earlier about the mess that we're in, about the mess that we've got to sift through, you've got a world that is lacking and wanting. Lacking, but wanting that spiritual unity. Last night we were with some dear friends, and a young girl there read some of her poetry. If I can get a chance, I'm going to share that with you too. I've made a note to give her a call and maybe do a little interview with her, because she talked about such an important part of life that is just so necessary. She talked about a disbelief in God, searching for God and God's not around, especially in all this mess. And at the end, she concludes her poem by saying, I can't find you, and I'm paraphrasing, I can't find you, but I really want to find you. And I think in those words, she spoke really for the world. I think the world wants to find that stability, wants to find that value, wants to find that dignity. And they're looking, and we are preventing God from doing what God does beautifully, is bringing that unity, of bringing that dignity. We are preventing it. By that same example I gave you, it's just that bait and switch. We've got this Pokemon attitude. Find the Pokemon, and if you do, then guess what? You get to go in and see what's going on in this place. And we're hoping, that people will come and see some of the beauty. Okay, this is how they're selling Pokemon. If you didn't catch last week's, this is what I was saying. They're saying, okay, it's good for walking. It's good for, people are now noticing some of the institutions that are all around them. They're walking into art centers. No, they're not. They're walking in to get Pokemon. And guess what? The intention of the company that produced it is not to get you physically fit, not to get you walking, not to get you to see those art installations. Their intention is to make money. When you got that in your sight, in your scope, you start understanding that this is all a game. And yet your faith cannot be a game. Your faith is so vital to who you are, to the definition of what you create. Your family, your community. And people are looking for this. And we need to provide it. The way to provide it is to find what it is, make it real in your life. Make it work in your life. And that's why I go to all these steps to express to you what Armadoxy is about. It's not about the hoopla. It's about that pure message that Jesus Christ has, that you have a light, you have an opportunity to attain that life and have it abundantly. And that's not about riches. It's not about filling up your pockets. It's about filling up your heart. I sometimes have to officiate over funerals of people who, by the standards of this world, are not wealthy people. You know, when somebody passes away at 80, 90 years old, it's not too many friends that show up at these funerals because they're not around or they're incapacitated. They can't come. And when I officiate at a funeral where an 80, 90-year-old person, and there are hundreds of people in attendance, what does that tell you? That life mattered, that life did something. And so, yes, financially unable to come to terms with this world, but one of the richest people on this planet, because they were able to develop that bond of friendship. They were able to spread the love that was in their heart. So yes, their pockets may have been empty, but who cares? They didn't care about that kind of dignity. They cared about the real dignity of the human soul and in this expression of love, of faith, and hope. And you look out at the crowd and you see a full church and you say that this is truly the wealth that this man had accumulated in the friends, in the hope that he gave others, the faith that he was able to pass along, and it was all expressed through the love that he gave in his life. I'm going to take a break right now. We're going to play the song of the day. We will be back in just a couple moments to share some more thoughts with you. If you're still with me, of course.
הקטעים ממסנה תוך הלם השנרים אין תצאום חכבום מסירו פגסית סק אין דרדים על דרומם כאן שום מס אוקנוציין בעצמם כבר ילומם ערב נוטה רוסיין ווצ' זרניון כאן פריז צ'ה Watch it in Los Angeles Martikas ten parien Geri paramputian Kartik kavor chahichen Ankap gavaragan Bats yerp vais tëgh cënvumen Darnumen glisopa Na kanchumen mes Vajtsumenk chekan Մենք ասում ենք կգանք Երբ բոլորը կգանք Մենք ասում ենք հետ կգանք Երբ կաքին ապող ունենանք Թե մինչ այդ քաղաքը մնա Ու քարակույտ չդառնա Մենք ասում ենք հետ կգանք Եթե մինչ այդ քաղաքը մնա Ու քաղաքույտը չդառնա Մին քաղաքը լուր պլվում է Դա մահանում Կարուքան դեշա masse herran om en I massen el pajkar om Men han tatt en el harrak tjome Og der då det har på Im karak om nisht te chure Zerug mi pampen tem Mi amite u barie Ham dar dich bes ne jak Aç kimmiş campine Bayz men köder çıkank Bana rakı vur dinörnek Vur ait besin hem çekank Bakan şum emez Bayz o menk çekank Çıkank, çıkank Ben kasum ek Zooming head go go Yep go king a pole long Tell me shit cara come na No cara quick a cheddar na When go zooming head go go Yep go king a pole long Tell me shit cara come na No cara quick Çedarna Men kasum enk Het gegang Yep karkin Aporun enank Yetem inçayt Karakamana U karakuit Çedarna Men kasum enk Het gegang Yep karkin Aporun enank Yetem inçayt Karakamana
The unmistakable voice of Gor Mkhitaryan off of his newest album, Passport. That song, Im Karak, My City. I got to get to translating some of these words. Beautiful. Talks about the emotions of a city and talks about the emotions that so many people throughout the world are sharing about their particular cities, places that they've grown up with. Places that that mean more to them than just a geographic location and the inability to be a part of that city, the inability to be there. I mean, you're talking about just the world. It's not just in Armenia, everywhere. We're seeing this refugee problem. We're seeing an exodus from different places and different countries. Anyway, that is off of the Passport album. A new collaboration between Gor Mkhitaryan and In His Shoes. It was debuted a couple months ago. If you're interested in the album, an actual CD album, drop me a line. And of course, the MP3s are now available. We'll put a link on our show notes today so you can check it out.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look.
There's something happening there. There's a man with a gun over there. These were words that stirred up a generation, mine included. Crosby, Stills, Nash, that was Stephen Stills talking about the situation back in 1968, the Democratic Convention, Mayor Daley, and an album that came out right after that spoke to me for many, many years following about the revolution, about the need for revolution and for people to their own hands when you find that the governments are corrupt, when you find that there are systems that aren't working. And in particular, I remember this song called 49 Reasons. And in there was, let me see if we can cue that up.
All in a line, all of them good ones, all in a line. Drifting with my lady,
Yeah, he went on this little rant, and he remembered that Jesus Christ, the first non-violent revolution.
What's going down? Oh, what's going down? Singing song and a carrying sighs. Come on, mostly say hooray for our side. And we got to stop the children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. All right, what's going down? Oh, yes. Well, it looks to me like there's a few politicians hanging around and children perpetrating some kind of myth on us all. All right, talking about where to drag all the kids are, yeah. Oh, cause they got the guts to get out in the street and tell the truth every day. Oh, yes. All right, making it a little hot for them, you know. All right. Oh, but you know that we're all just out there proving to Richard Nixon and Spiral Agnew and Richard Daley and all them other, well, whatever you want to call them, that America is still the home of the brave. Oh, yes it is, and you got to be brave, children. How many is it that they shot down already? Some like 17 of us. Oh, but you know we got to do it. We got to keep on keeping on. Oh, because if we don't do it, nobody else is gonna. But you know, if we can't do it with a smile on our face, you know, if we can't do it with love in our hearts, then children, we ain't got no right to do it at all, yeah. Because that just means we ain't learned nothing yet. Oh, and we're supposed to be some kind of different. Oh, 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 yes. And I don't know whether I want white America to remember or forget that Jesus Christ was the first nonviolent revolutionary. Dig it. Oh, dig it. Oh, right on. Dig it. Oh, yes. You know that paranoia, it strikes deep into your life.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, the first nonviolent revolutionary. A verse that really stuck with me. Here was Jesus talking about being able to make changes, but doing it in an effective manner and nonviolent. Dr. Martin Luther King went on to develop on that in the civil rights movement from the 1950s, 1960s. Mahatma Gandhi, though he wasn't a Christian, was able to bring in that teaching of Christ, of nonviolent resistance, about being able to effectuate changes without the use of violence. And we skip forward 40, 50 years, and here we are in 2016. And basically what we're talking about is how to bring about change through weapons, through artillery. We have this this situation with ISIS. We have this fanaticism, this fundamentalism that's all around us. And we're looking at a world that has changed quite a bit. And how do you bring about those changes? A big question and an important question. Can we still appeal to those ideals that we had, to the ideals that Jesus Christ had, that he expounded on? I mean, he brought about a revolution without killing anyone. Of course, the ultimate sacrifice was paid. He paid that ultimate sacrifice. But for 2,000 years, there is a tradition, there is a teaching out there. And we've never tried that Christianity. Though many people have attempted at it, we've never really tried it in its purest form. And guess what? It's been tried when you look at Armodoxy. It has been tried through the ascetics, through the people of faith who have attempted at it. But for it to catch on in a big manner, it has to bring about some changes that are dramatic. And guess what? These changes are over the course of life. And it begins with the changes that you make in yourself. And so I look at the world today and I say, wow, you know what, as a cross comparison, having lived through the 60s, having lived through the 70s, and knowing what what kind of difficulties. I mean, there were collapses, there were structures. Within the course of 10, 15 years, we saw a president assassinated, we saw his brother, a presidential candidate, assassinated, we saw the leader of the civil rights movement, Dr. King, assassinated, we saw the death of Malcolm X, for that matter. We saw a country in turmoil over a war called Vietnam, not knowing what people were fighting about. It was coming into our living rooms. We saw the corruption of a system. We saw the resignation of a president, Richard Nixon, about trying to build up after that. And here we are in 2016, and we've got things that I can't understand. When I said mess at the beginning of this show, that's what I meant. It's a mess, because just yesterday, Donald Trump was officially nominated as the candidate for the Republican Party. And next week, Hillary Clinton is going to be officially nominated as the candidate for the Democratic Party here in the United States. And Donald Trump's bid for the White House began last year. And when he put his name out, I mean, I know I wasn't the only one. I mean, we were all looking at it like, okay, what joke is this? What's behind it? This will never happen. It's a joke. Can't happen. And then slowly but surely, many of the other candidates started dropping off. Next thing we know, he's the presumptive nominee. And then with the vote yesterday, that presumption went away, and now he is the official candidate. And what is he talking about creating walls? Remember President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall? And the tearing down of walls, both physically, literally, as well as figuratively, took place throughout the last 20 years, throughout the last few decades. And then here we're talking about building up walls again, about creating an atmosphere where there's total fear of people who are different from us, xenophobia. And they're capitalizing on it, and people are following. What is it? What is it about these terms that people just congregate towards? It's phenomenal, isn't it? You have an opportunity to spread love, and instead you'd rather be out there causing divisions. In fact, at the Republican convention, and with one of the moderators, somebody was speaking, and he says, "We tried. Imagine a world without possessions. Imagine a world without countries. Imagine a world without religion." Basically quoting the John Lennon theme, Imagine. And the guy went out in front of the people and says, "Imagine, what do you get?" And I thought for a moment somebody would yell out peace. But no, people said disaster, chaos. And the world has changed. Just the phenomena of a Donald Trump being elected, what does that tell you? It tells you throughout the world, not just here in America. I mean, also the British, the Brexit, right? What happened in Great Britain about the leaving of the European Union? What is it telling you? That people are tired of doing politics as usual. And this transfers through also. In fact, I would say that the first hit on this was toward religion, the breaking down of the institutions. And now we're seeing it in politics. We're tired of these institutions. We're tired. And over again, you look at the phenomena of a Donald Trump being a nominee for the highest office in the United States and arguably the most powerful man in the world. What's the reason? People are just sick and tired of business as usual. And he was effective in this manner of getting people to talk in these terms and saying, okay, enough is enough. We want something different. And as I shared with you a few minutes ago, yeah, even the Armenians. Okay, let's look at Donald Trump, because at least we don't know what to expect with him. We know what we could expect with the regular candidate, with Hillary Clinton, but I'd rather have something I don't know. Yeah, this is what they're saying. And they're talking about basically Trump being the person who might be able to recognize the Armenian genocide, so an event that took place 100 years ago, and yet we have not recognized it as Armenians, because we haven't recognized that that was a way of talking about the next genocides that were to take place. No, you don't have to go back to the Holocaust. You don't have to go back to Cambodia, to Ethiopia. Right now, genocide's taking place. I mean, Darfur is still taking place. What's going on in Syria? Have we forgotten what's going on in Syria? No, but we're quiet about these things. Now we've got other things to talk about. And the world has really changed. Imagine there's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. It's time we stop. Children, look. What's that sound? That's what the poet's talking about. And we have to appeal to that poet. So necessary right now for us to keep our wits, because it's so easy to go the other way. That's why when it came down to it several months ago, in fact a year ago, when we first started on the idea of putting together a passport with Gor Mkhitaryan, it was the necessity for me to articulate, to be able to find the poet that was able to talk about these things. Because we do need to appeal to poetry. I know, it goes back. We're not talking about poetry anymore. We're not talking about that feeling that comes from the heart. In fact, we're engaging not even the mind these days, right? Think about it. We're not even engaging the mind. It's so important that we appeal to the poet. That we look at that message of love. Jesus was constantly, I mean, with his disciples, arguing about, look at the things that you're concerned about. There's something else that you need to be concerned about. And it's greater, and it can change the way we live, the way you live. It was Judas. Remember that story. The woman comes and anoints Jesus' feet with expensive oil. And Judas makes a claim that every one of us would probably be out there making. Why are you wasting this expensive oil on your feet? I mean, look at the poor around you. Look at poverty around you. That oil could be sold. We could sell that. And the proceeds, we can go out there and we can help people. Why aren't we doing that? It's a legitimate question. It's a question you and I ask. When we look at the gold reserves in the Vatican or in any one of the churches, okay, and we look at all these gold ornate crosses. I mean, I'm constantly asking that when I put on these vestments. Here, the leader of the church was a man with just basically a smock and sandals. And we've created experience into something it's not. And Judas asks him, why are we spending that money on your feet, on your hair? Let's go out there, let's sell it and give it to the poor. It's a question that anyone with a little bit of mind and care for humanity would ask. And Jesus says, you will always have the poor, but you won't always have me. Now, if we're going to buy the rest of the Jesus story, you've got to buy this one too. What is it about this story? What is the redeeming value or message to us in our lives today? Was Jesus just somebody obsessed with himself? Was he pointing to something greater? That here you have an opportunity to attach to something greater that can alleviate the pains of the world. Yes. Come to me and I will give you the water, and from that water, if you drink that water, you will not thirst. I give you the bread of life, and if you taste it, you will not hunger. What is he talking about? the opportunity for each of us to plug into something that is greater than ourselves, that is at the beginning of all eternity, to use a phrase that is often used, right? If you think about it, what do you mean, beginning of all your eternity? But basically to say that you belong to something greater than yourself. And we have that opportunity today. Sadly, these world events that are taking place are lacking that leadership from the church. And so it's time for us to say that, okay, the church has its leadership, it has its own systems and everything. We have to look at really the message that is in here. And that message is a pure one. It's a pure one that when we clean up our heart, when each and every one of us understands that we are children of God, we have that ability to be children of God. That's when we understand that we have the power, the true power, to bring about change. This past weekend was an opportunity for me to reflect on a giant in my life, my father. And I wrote a little piece because I hadn't realized. I always knew my grandparents' name. It's on their stone when we go and visit the gravesite. I remember I never met my grandfather, but my grandmother certainly was a big influence in my life. I've shared with you stories. But my father's parents were named Joseph and Mary. Yeah, Joseph and Mary. I knew this, but I never made that connection, Joseph and Mary. So I wrote a little piece. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. I won't trouble you with it. But if you're inclined to go read it, it's there on my blog. It's about this opportunity for us to become children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. It's not as complicated as you would think. And that was that Jesus Christ gave to us, that it is not as complicated as you think. He gives you the opportunity. We have complicated it. We have complicated it by closing our eyes to the reality that's around in the world, including the inequality, including the ineffectiveness of organizations. You want to do nothing in the world? Form a committee. Form an organization. You want to do something in the world? Do it. A couple weeks ago, we put up one of our videos about, I believe it was the one about Vartavar. The diocese has been producing these, Armenian Christianity 101, AC 101. I don't even post them on my page because I'm really try to distance myself from these 101 activities. But I love making them because I have a creative soul over at the diocese named Adam who loves putting these together. And he's doing a fantastic job of editing these videos. And there was one about Vartabat, about the celebration of Transfiguration. And some priest goes out there and says, how come you're using icons with blue-eyed Jesuses? Why aren't you using icons that are more reflective of our tradition? And after rolling my eyes, I go, okay, there's somebody who doesn't get it. I mean, do it first. And then form your committees. We're doing something. Those who can do, those who can't criticize. And that's really what we see throughout the world. People are unable to connect dots. People are unable to do. And so what do? You criticize. Well, guess what? You have the power to do. Each of us has that power to do. There is no better time in human history than right now, if you think about it. Why? For the simple reason that there's nothing you can do about the past. But what you can do is something about today, about tomorrow. And to be able to find that place where you belong. What Dr. Martin Luther King talked about as discovering that thing that you're willing to sacrifice. When he said, if a man has not discovered something he will die for, he isn't fit to live. Yeah, he's appealing to that part of emotion. He's appealing to the heart. That says that this is something that I'm willing to give myself for. And they're all around us. It's our children too. It's our communities too. I'm not talking about global situation. I'm talking about families, about communities, about our countries, the places where we live. And yes, that includes the world. We begin with a very simple step in addressing ourselves, finding that thing that matters in our life, finding that rich, that wealth that is measured by the love, by the faith, the hope that we have in our lives and our ability to share that with others. Let's take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I started off this show telling you it's a mess out there, and it is a mess. What we're doing over here is just trying to give you something to think about, some ideas to share, something that'll help you in your spiritual growth. In many ways, the In His Shoes ministry is really about giving the examples of walking in His Shoes, but ultimately calling each of us to our own personal lifting up of our feet, putting them into the shoes of others, feeling the pain of others, that expression in Armenian, tsavatanem. And that's what this ministry is about. It's what Armadoxy has been all about. You want to get involved, as Susie said. We appreciate your donations. We appreciate your prayers and certainly your kind words. Drop us a line. You can reach us at feedback@epostle.net. I am going to call it a day for right now. Got tons of stuff to tend to right now. It has been a pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, we're all praying for the welfare of these situations in the world. And I'm praying for you. Please pray also for us. On behalf of the crew who put today's show together, for Susie out there in Chicago, in the Windy City, producing this show remotely, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance top limits.